Sports Line with Brett Hollander.
WBAL News Radio 1090.
Hour number two on the program, we're talking about Deflategate and so much more. We're talking about the ethics of sports tonight. More of your phone calls coming up. But right now, we have a special guest joining us, NFL reporter for Bleacher Report. Russell Baxter is on the program tonight. Russell, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Kadri.
Yes, sir. How are you doing, my friend?
I did not know. I'm ecstatic to be on with you. Brett, it's nice to meet you. But Kadri and I go back a few years. And,
I heard that.
Yeah, that's because I go back a few years. Yeah,
well, let me go ahead and put this into context.
Please.
When I retired from the NFL, had an opportunity to work up at ESPN, and I was just lost. Had no idea about what was where and who was who. And obviously, you know, you're on the other side of the television, and as an analyst, you got to give out a ton of information in a very succinct way. And Russell literally held my hand through the entire process, gave me a stronger idea of 32 teams. He brings a vast knowledge to the table when it comes to just the history of football and what it means as far as the details of the game. And so literally, as I start absorbing it, the better I was able to connect with the audience at large on my different shows. So I owe a lot to Russell and just the awesome way in which you were professional and at the same time consider you a friend as well.
Wow.
Well, strong endorsement there. And
wow. Thank you, Kutcher.
Absolutely. That's truth. That's truth. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's truth.
Russell, yep. I'm excited to talk football with you as well here. Let's get right to it. And what's going on with Deflategate, or I've heard it as Deflategate and Inflategate. Your take on it right now, where we stand with the NFL investigation and what we know as fact, that 11 of the 12 footballs were deflated and what that really means.
Well, I think in this instance, and this is not to give, I think the best way to put this is this, at least in my mind. I think this is somewhat much ado about nothing. Because, I mean, and listen, players will tell their own stories about ball preparation and quarterbacks doing this and kickers doing that and et cetera, and then having the separate balls for kickers, et cetera, et cetera. But to me, at least, this doesn't become nearly as relevant unless it's a franchise that has been fined and accused of cheating before. Also with the controversy with the Ravens last week, the eligible, ineligible receiver, and you lump all these things together. And just like players, and I threw this out to somebody I was talking to last night, just like players in the league who get dealt with harsher if it's a second violation, if this is indeed a second violation of cheating, and we don't know that yet, how will the New England Patriots be dealt with?
Hmm. That's the one thing I guess I look at when you're talking about Roger Goodell this year, the way in which he talks about the integrity of the league and holding people to high standards ethically off the field, as well as a game in which the fans can, you know, feel confident in and really root for each and every one of their teams. And, you know, I think that's where. What is he going to do? How is he going to react to this? Or is this going to be another sweep it under the rug type of proposition?
Oh, I think, Kadri, I think this is impossible to sweep under the rug. And just for the reasons that we saw during the season with all the stuff that had been, it wasn't so much swept under the rug to me for years. I think there was almost a fear and blind eye turned to domestic violence and child abuse. And I don't think it was anything the NFL really even thought they were going to have to deal with. But then again, they didn't think they would have to deal with dog fighting, bullying in a locker room, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But now, with this allegation, I think they're going to address this sooner or later. They have to address it sooner or later. And boy, you know, Roger Goodell must feel like Al Pacino in Godfather 3. Mm. It just seems like just when you think things are calming down, they pull you right back in again.
I thought you were going to say, considering Godfather Part 3, the worst of the three, that this was a huge mistake and a nightmare, and I don't know why I signed up for this.
mean, listen, it was a terrible regular season in terms of off the field, and it's been a very, very controversial postseason on the field.
Talk about, from a Patriots standpoint, just some of the numbers that you crunched in that AFC Championship game as far as just their dominance outside of what we know as far as just this deflating situation with the football.
Well, it's funny to make a bad joke, but actually its analysis is the one thing the Patriots do every time they play against the Colts is they take the air out of the football. They, the last three meetings, they've run the ball at least 40, not 30, 40 times. 234, 246, 177, that's 657. That is, what, 219 a game? And the thing that's even more impressive in this day and age where we see so many touchdown passes, the first time they played in the playoffs last year, they had six rushing touchdowns, four of them led by LeGarrette Blount. This year in the regular season, Jonas Gray had four rushing touchdowns. Last week, LeGarrette Blount had 13 rushing touchdowns in the last three meetings with the Colts.
Goodness. Gosh.
Yeah, I mean, and listen, that means less time on the field for Andrew Luck. When Andrew Luck's on the field, he has to press. Last week, you know, not a great game for him. And he's had turnover things, issues all year, and a lot of that is because they're so one-dimensional. But two more picks in the postseason last week. He's thrown a lot of picks in the four meetings he's had with the Patriots. Right now, it's just, for lack of a better word, just a bad matchup for the Colts when they beat the Patriots. And we've seen that throughout history with teams who just don't match up well. I mean, my all-time great example is, and one of my favorite misnomers in football is, you know, it's hard to beat a team three times in one season. You know, that's actually factually inaccurate.
See, okay, hold on. You're about to be Baxterized because there's one thing I know. When he's about to give you a nugget, you turn up your radio dial. Shh, quiet, listen in. Go ahead. The floor
well,
is yours.
I think I want to say that something to the effect of 20 times a team has swept the team during the regular season and then played them in the playoffs since the merger. And I think it's 13 out of the 20 times the team closed the deal and won all three. And there's probably no better example, and Kaji will certainly remember this because he was in the league at the time. The Jacksonville Jaguars, the last time they won the division was 1999 when they were in the old AFC Central.
Yep.
They were 14-2, had the best record in the league.
Mm.
They got swept by the Tennessee Titans in the regular season. They then go and play the Miami Dolphins in the playoffs. They beat them 62-7 in what turned out to be Dan Marino and Jimmy Johnson's last games in the pros. They hosted the Tennessee Titans in the AFC Championship game.
Mm.
And lo and behold, Tennessee beat them again.
I'm telling you right now.
That's a good nugget.
I'm telling you, the dude just knows his stuff. Russell Baxter, one of the things, Russ, I think when we look at just the league overall and you drop that nugget, give us your take as far as these two teams that are going to be meeting up in the Super Bowl, obviously starting with Seattle and their defense going up against the Patriots offense. Is there any insight you can show the fan as they prepare to watch this game?
Well, you know, we always talk about defense wins championships. And in the Super Bowl era, it has really panned out. But like, you know, I want to also give credit where credit's due. You want to talk about historic. And I know we're in a day and age where we give up more points than we used to in the days before 1978 when they changed the rules and so on. But lo and behold, the Seattle Seahawks gave up the fewest points in the league this season, guys, for the third consecutive year. That has not happened in the National Football League since the 1969, 70, and 71 Minnesota Vikings.
Jeez.
The famous Purple People Eaters with Carl Eller and Jim Marshall and Alan Page and Gary Larson and Doug Sutherland. I mean, that's a hell of a stretch. In fact, it's funny. Over the last 5 years, there's only been two teams in the league that have given up the fewest points in the league. Pittsburgh did it back-to-back years, and Seattle's done it the last 3 years. But the defense, just throw these out numbers when it comes to the Super Bowl, okay?
Mm.
The times that the team that led the league in scoring has gotten to the Super Bowl, because we talk about offense these days, they are 10-12 in Super Bowl competition. The times that the team gave up the fewest points in the league and they got to the Super Bowl, those teams are 14-5 in the Super Bowl. So we have that again with Seattle trying to make it 15-5, teams who give up the fewest points. Now, by the way, if you're talking about yards, and Seattle gave up the fewest yards in the league, New England was 11th in total offense. Top-ranked offense in the Super Bowl, 8-7. Top-ranked defense in the Super Bowl, 9-3.
Interesting. Russell Baxter, NFL reporter for Bleacher Report. Great stuff, Russell. I hope we can have
always.
You on again soon.
Yes.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yes.
What are you doing in 10 minutes?
We'll need you a lot in the next few weeks. Russell Baxter, great stuff. 410-467-WBAL. We'll come back. We'll take your phone calls on the ethics of sports and the New England Patriots next here on WBAL News Radio 1090.